In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, it is an all too often quoted phrase that two things are certain: death and taxes. Well, as of late, thanks to advancements in medicine and medical technology, we've been able to at least delay death. And ironically, it took a viral pandemic to delay taxes. But delaying the inevitable is just that. It doesn't change the reality that the time comes when we must pay taxes, and the time comes when we must face our own death. But Jesus says of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live." Christians have a unique perspective on the world. And that's because through God's revelation, we know what is really going on. Through the scriptures, God has revealed to us important truths in this world that others do not know, or if they do know, they reject. The cause of death is one of these examples. Most people say things like, "Death is part of life," or "death is natural." And people say these things based upon the observation that everyone must one day undergo death. And they conclude then, if everyone dies, then it must be natural and part of life. But that conclusion is much too short-sighted because it only observes the world since the fall into sin. To ask if something is natural is to ask whether it was the way God created it to be. And God did not create a creation that was just destined to die. It was God's intention that he would create a world that was free from death, that there would be bliss and no suffering, there would be joy and no pain. But it was man who ran away from God. And when you run away from the author of life, you're running straight towards death. It was Eve who took from the forbidden fruit and gave to her husband who was with her, and they disobeyed God, the God who created them and gave them life. It was God who warned them and said, "In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Certainly, neither Adam nor Eve knew what death even was, because they had never seen it before. They knew nothing of death, nothing of pain, nothing of suffering, but only life and joy. That was all they ever knew. So this command was a call for them to trust in their Lord. Knowing only life and knowing nothing of death, they were to trust that their God was providing for them what was truly best for them. And that was the temptation that came with the devil, that God had something good that he was holding back. The devil said, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the thought entered Eve's mind. Maybe there was more that God had that he was not giving them. Maybe God is holding back from me. And that's the moment death entered the world. It was the moment that man sinned against God, and from that moment on, all of human experience has had that death is normal and that everyone dies. Imagine what it would be like if you had a cold, but you always had a cold, and everyone you knew always had a cold. You would assume that a running nose, a fever, a cough, this is just part of life. You wouldn't have realized that it wasn't supposed to be that you didn't have a running nose or other cold symptoms. Well, that is exactly how it is for us with death and other sufferings. that we become so used to diseases and pains and suffering that we've forgotten that this is not the way things are supposed to be. Today, we live in the exact opposite situation of Adam and Eve pre-fall. They had life and had to trust God, not knowing death. We live in the midst of death, having to trust God about life. They had everything there was and had to trust that there was nothing more that God had for them. We are tempted to think that this is all there is, and God has nothing more to give us. A big part of John chapter 11 and the raising of Lazarus is the question, what would have happened if Jesus had arrived before Lazarus died? As soon as Jesus arrives, Martha says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In other words, you could have stopped this. You could have prevented this from happening. If only you have gotten here sooner. Now, one thing Jesus did not say is, "I came as soon as I could." Because he didn't. Verse 6 actually says, "So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Getting to Lazarus before he dies was not necessary for Jesus. In fact, when Jesus first hears about Lazarus, he says, "This illness does not lead to death, for it is the glory of God, for the Son of God may be glorified through it." This kind of goes back to the point that we made last week about the blind man from John chapter 9. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And we said that the sufferings, or death in this case, does not come from God in the sense that God is the author of suffering, but this is the result of sin. But insofar as nothing happens outside of God's permissive will, then these things are in God's control, and he uses them for good. Jesus is coming to Lazarus not to show people that he heals the sick, but to show that he raises the dead. And although Lazarus died like anyone else because of sin in a fallen world, Jesus uses this occasion to glorify God. And in doing that, he brings many to faith. The last line of our gospel lesson for today says, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what he did and believed in him." It's interesting that our assumption and Martha's assumption and the disciples' assumption is that if God loves Lazarus, he would not let him die. We know that God loves us, and we know that death does not come from God. It's not something that he authored. And we know that God can do anything. So when we put all of these facts together, we assume God wouldn't allow anyone to die. But that isn't what we see in the life of Jesus. With his very own friend, Lazarus, at the news that Lazarus was ill, Jesus didn't even rush to go see him. In fact, it seems like he sort of delays on purpose to make sure he didn't arrive before Lazarus died. So what's going on here? Was it that Jesus didn't love him? Well, no. The opposite is made evident when Jesus weeps. This is a very special Greek word that is not that he's moaning like those mourners who are there. It's a word that especially describes the shedding of tears. That the death of Lazarus brings Jesus to tears. And those standing there say, "See how he loved him." So So it wasn't that God didn't love Lazarus. It wasn't that God was powerless to save him. And it isn't that God is the author of suffering. So why didn't Jesus act? Why didn't Jesus stop Lazarus from dying? You see, for us, death is the ultimate enemy. It is the end all. From our perspective, this is all there is. And if we don't stop death, then it's all over. This fear is why we've shut down the worldwide economy to save thousands of lives. Because from our perspective, as soon as death comes, that's it. It's over. But that is not how it is with God. For God, death is no big deal. For God, whether a person is sick and he heals him, or a person has died and he raised him from the dead, doesn't make a bit of difference to God. Because crossing that line from life to death doesn't make a big difference to God. It makes a big difference to us, but not God. So in the case with Lazarus, this tragedy is used as an event that glorifies God, because in so doing, many believed in Jesus at that moment. And perhaps one day when we go to heaven, we'll meet some of those people who said, "I believed once I saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead." And Jesus even tells his disciples that it happened this way for their sakes, that they would believe. The key to understanding this passage really comes in understanding why death is no big deal for God. And the answer is not simply because God is God. It isn't so simple to say God is big and powerful and he can do anything, therefore death is no match for God. Because if that were the answer, there would be no reason for the incarnation. The key of understanding this passage is that there is an exchange that is taking place here. First of all, Jesus says to Martha some of the sweetest words of promise in all of the scriptures. Listen to this. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." These words of promise are of utmost importance. These verses are quoted throughout our funeral service here, and we would do well to commit them to heart in preparation for our very own last days. For with these words written on your heart, there would be no last-minute doubt or temptation that the wily foe would come and bring to you in your last hours of struggle. These words tell us that death is not the end. These are the words that show us eternal life does not come out of thin air, but they are found and grounded in Jesus. Eternal life comes from him. And it is for all those who believe in him. The reason life is eternal and the reason death is not terminal is because of Jesus. And that's the other half of this exchange. That Jesus comes to give Lazarus life because Jesus gives himself into death. When Jesus told his disciples that they were going to Judea to see Lazarus, the first thing they say to him is, and this is verse 8, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" Lazarus was in Bethany, which was just 2 miles away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the epic center of all those who want to kill Jesus. And in fact, when Jesus announces that he is going to Bethany, Thomas actually steps up and says, this is verse 16, let us go also that we may die with him. That they were sure that going to Bethany meant the death of Jesus. And you know what? They were right. If you read through the Gospel of John, you see that it's the raising of Lazarus that is the straw that breaks the camel's back of the Jews who will not let this guy go on. It's this event that begins Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, and death. So for Lazarus, he was given life in exchange for Jesus' death. And that's not only true for Lazarus, it's true for you too. The reason Jesus' promise is true for you, he who believes will never die, is because Jesus died for you. If death is a result of sin, be it original sin of Adam and Eve, or your actual sin of transgressions committed in thought, word, and deed, the wages of sin is death. And the death for sin has been taken by Christ himself. That your death would not be an eternal death, but that by his death, you would have life. And you do. Because Jesus has died, he died for you. The exchange of his life into death, that in death you would have life. So I'm not sure it's true to say the only things we know for certain in this life are death and taxes. Because there's one thing even more certain than death, and that is eternal life. It's only a very, very high probability that you will one day die. But even that in this life is not certain. For there will be those who are living when Christ returns. But even if you don't face death, you will certainly have eternal life, where there are no taxes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.